Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. Today's topic is dating vision, creating what you want. My name's Kate Holmquist.
And I'm Rachel Zwell.
And we're glad that you've joined us today for our every 2 week show on dating, singlehood, and all things related to having what you want as a single person dating. So love starting the year with the New Year's topic. We did this last year as our first time out of the New Year's shoot, and we did talk about vision. We did a little reframe about resolutions versus vision, and so with the year under our belt from that experience and having gone back into our own archives and revisited it, I just thought it would be cool to share that our callers actually did what they visioned last year. We heard from Jackie about working on a vision of actually dating this year, and she did.
She actually dated, Jackie, if you're listening. Nice job.
Applause to Jackie. And of course, we, you know, there are the specific examples of people we know and love who've really done it, but I think today's show will be about bringing it back to that focus on vision, not on the logistics of planning and succeeding at a goal, but of what it really means to vision. And it's something we've really been exploring in our own personal development, our own dating lives, in our life as a company, and really just can say works. Have had so many moments in the last year of realizing how my vision came true, either the negative vision I had of what I feared about something, how that managed to be exactly what showed up, and how the positive vision showed up, or, you know, the limits of my vision, where I only thought to vision up to a certain level, or my radar only went so far in terms of what to vision, but basically exactly what I vision seems to keep happening in my life. So this is a really important time. It's almost like the way we talk about holidays is an excuse to see the nourishment, the light, the kindness, it's the excuse to say I love you or happy holidays or whatever. The new year is just our yearly excuse to touch on our vision and our yearnings and what really matters to us. So.
Yeah. And one thing I'm getting from what you're saying here, Kate, is, you know, visioning is we want it to be this big, beautiful, positive thing. But on the other hand, it can also be a negative thing. You know, I'm visioning all the time, whether I realize it or not. So, you know, it's the beginning of the year. The holidays have passed. We've got a few months of cold weather ahead of us, and I've already heard some people saying, you know, like, oh, this is a time we're going to just sit around and watch TV, or, you know, like, it's just sort of the negative space around what to expect in the next few months. And that's, you know, that's visioning. That's predictive of what can actually happen, and we have the power to shift it.
Yeah.
So there's a much more positive space to come from, you know, as you're saying, not I want this by this date necessarily, but really, like, what do I want in my dating? Who do I want to be in my dating this year? And really, what's it to me? Because, you know, when people come in saying, I should date more, I should go out more, I should do this, it's sort of lacking the piece of, like, you know, what am I yearning for?
Who am I in the process?
Exactly, and how can I use dating as a way to get my own yearnings met?
Yes, so hopefully we'll hear of some specific visions that our callers have today, some specific yearnings underneath, and get to talk about those too, or tease them out if we don't have them, and also deal with those negative visions, because really being in touch with the negative vision for the possible future without intervention, without positive visioning, actually helps you to achieve goals or achieve that positive vision.
Yeah.
So we'll touch on it all. We're willing anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see if our callers are.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to start out and hear from some of our callers. It looks like we've got Dana on the line. And Dana's saying, do you think it's possible to have or develop a serious relationship with someone you've had a sexual relationship with for a few years now? And sometimes, you know, she'd like to know that but doesn't know if he'd want to move forward either. So, you know, I'd love to hear more from you, Dana, about the situation. You with us?
Okay, so we're not hearing Dana.
Yeah.
Let's try Molly. Molly's on the line as looking to create a dating vision. She asks, how do I create and live a dating vision when I have a hard time actually meeting and connecting with potential dating partners? Molly, can you tell us more?
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is Molly. I guess when you were talking about the negative parts of vision already, I kind of identified as having part of that. When I think about, you know, what I want from dating, like, I'd love to have a vision of, like, I go out on dates every weekend or regularly, you know, and, like, I have fun when I'm doing that. And what I'm getting bogged down by is sort of, like, the logistics of that vision and, like, sometimes, like, I don't have a full slate of people emailing me through, like, OkCupid or Match.com or whatever I'm using at the time, you know? So I'm, like, I'm kind of struggling with, like, can I, like, make that vision happen when, like, there's not necessarily a guaranteed crop of people just, like, waiting to date me, if that makes sense.
They are. You just haven't met them yet. Let's deal with the logistics of it. I love the question, Molly, and you have outlined kind of the negative vision, the challenge you're having, and it only feels like such a challenge because you have some vision you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And I would submit to you that it's not about the frequency of having dates. Just having a date every weekend is not a powerful enough vision for you to hang your hat on. So I'm going to put the question back to you and say, tell us more about what about having a weekend, a once a weekend date habit are you really looking for? What is your vision beyond the frequency?
Increased variety, just dating different kinds of people. And I feel like if I date more people, then I'm going to, like, really expand the types of men that I have heretofore been dating. So I think that's kind of part of it.
And to what end would you expand the types?
I guess to as far as I feel comfortable going. I think, you know, it's just about really being curious about all different types of men. Like, historically, you know, I've probably dated, like, guys who are very much like me, professional career guys, been to college, maybe an MBA, you know, in my field, et cetera. Like, I always date computer nerds, it seems. And I know that I like that and it's familiar, but, like, maybe I'd like dating an artist or a photographer or somebody who writes, you know?
Yeah. Like, I love this, Molly. And one thing I think you're teasing up is – okay, so listening to you talk, it's almost like there's an undercurrent of where my frustration is, you know, that's in the type that I've dated. So maybe variety is the answer, you know, maybe that's
right.
Maybe an artist will solve this problem, the underlying thing. I think there's some more digging for you to do into also, like, where you feel stuck, not at the surface level, like, I don't like a guy in a suit, but into the you know, a lot of what we do in you know, personal exploration and that, you know, self-awareness is like, God, what are my patterns? And I think there's another level of you saying, like, what are my patterns so we can shake them up from a little bit of a deeper place?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's ringing true for sure. It's also, like, sometimes it's just hard for me to see where I'm stuck. You know, like, do you have any, like how does one begin that inquisition?
Well, I want to jump in here.
Yeah.
So you've identified the pattern of the type of men you date. I think a place to go in looking at the stuck point has to do with a theme we say, which is to be the one that you want to date. Not to find the one, but to be the one. And knowing a little bit about you, Molly, I'm guessing there's a part of you that I know there is a part of you that's in touch with your desire to be artistic, flamboyant,
creative,
theatrical, creative, whatever the exact words are. And if you approach the task of dating just kind of from, like, well, what would it be like to be with this guy? You'd be missing out on kind of the rich exploration of, like, okay, am I really being the creative, you know, fully living person I want to be, or am I trying to hire it in the man? Or am I trying to kind of get affirmed for that side of me by dating the creative guy who will see my creativity and kind of do work that I'm not willing to do in other parts of my life? So where I go from there is not so much even to the dating vision, but the whole life vision. And where would you need to be going in your life to be meeting meeting people who would bolster you in that vision, which I know you do. But then just to tie that whole life vision to your dating vision, it's not as if you just want to do this for novelty's sake or how would you do with a hipster with a Gandalf beard? Like, that's really not interesting. It's really like, why have you hired guys who are less interesting to you, and has hiring them as dating partners maybe let you not challenge yourself to go where you need to go?
Right. No, that totally makes sense. You know, and like, when I think about like that word frustration, I think that actually kind of helps bring it to light, because, you know, like, yeah, I'm frustrated by like men who haven't been totally forthright with me. I'm frustrated by just like always seeming to get to like a point in a relationship and then it just like falls off. So like, you know, a year in, a year and a half in, something goes wrong and it goes completely off the rails and it's like, what the heck? You know, like, I think a lot of it sort of ties into the work that we've been doing with family and intimacy in the Year Transformation Program, and like just learning to be with myself more and be more true to who I am and therefore like be seen. I think that's a huge yearning that I have that hasn't historically been met by my dating.
And I love this picture that Kate's painting of like, you know, you wanting to be this creative person. It's like, so what does that mean? You know, what does creativity look like? In my mind, I'm imagining aliveness. I'm imagining a date where I'm like, I really feel like I am, you know, I'm here in the present moment. I'm not thinking about, oh, if this goes well, what's going to happen next week? Or I'm not thinking about my to-do list or, you know, something else. But I'm here creating an experience, getting to know myself better and enjoying it with someone else. That feels creative.
Mm-hmm. And that's a key still, just to underline, envision is not just the what am I doing, but how am I doing it? How do I feel when I'm doing it? Our connection to the emotions is key to really knowing if you are actually envisioning something. As you're envisioning the scenario of going out with an artist, what feelings come up? How do you imagine feeling on the date, for example?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, the interesting thing, like, as Rachel was just going through of, like, here's what it would be like, you know, like, I'm here, I'm in the moment, I'm not thinking about what happens next, like, that was the exciting thing to me. Like, as I was listening to that, I was feeling a lot of joy and just, like, anticipation of, like, yeah, that's what I want. And, like, it doesn't matter who I'm on the date with at that point. Like, I could be on that date with an engineer, and as long as that's how I'm being and I'm feeling, like, the joy of creation and I'm feeling excitement about, you know, maybe we're doing something that I've never done before or whatever, like, if I'm focused on the experience, I think it matters less about the variety of man that I'm seeing. It's more about how is each date unfolding? What sort of experiences am I creating?
Yeah, and how satisfied are you in them joining you in these great experiences? So it's not like your baseline isn't just, do they see me?
Right.
You know, and then that goes as far as it goes until they stop seeing you the way you want to be seen, but a constant, you know, sorting out process of, is this guy willing to play and be alive with me?
Yeah. Do I like who I'm being on this date? And do I like the experience of being with this other human on this date?
Yeah. All right. I'm taking notes, that's why I'm quiet right now. No, I think that totally makes sense.
No, it's great. I love it. And I guess I'm just sort of thinking about it. Like, I think for you, Molly, it would be great to have a more concrete vision of what it is that you want in your dating going forward. And I think it's a beautiful exercise to be doing in early January to really look at this. Because, you know, like Kate and I were saying, we have people who, you know, named what they wanted and how they wanted to be last year, and, you know, a lot of them are there now. So I'd just love to hear you delve into more deeply, like, who you want to be in dating this year.
And to the tactical point that you raised in your question, you could play with putting some of those vision elements in your profile. I know that as I'm looking at guys' profiles, when mm-hmm. people are clear about what they want, it gives me just like an absolute bright line. My response is super clear. And so I think there's just a hesitancy most of us have to really putting out in mm-hmm. our online dating forums what we want. And so it's not a sign of, like, if you're clear and you don't have a date coming through every 2 weeks, it, like, doesn't matter because you've put yourself out clearly and people are responding to the you that's out there playing. So
That and there's if velocity is an issue, it really shouldn't be. So I mean, there are yes. strategic ways to up that. You know, there's I think I have 6 dating apps on my phone, 5 or 6, and I send messages. So I think that's like sort of a topic for another time. Is like,
absolutely.
No, tactically, if something's holding you back, that's something to work on, not
right.
something to just accept.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
thanks
wonderful.
For calling, Molly.
Yeah,
awesome.
Thanks so much for calling in. Love for
Thank
you to
you.
Call back and give us an update another time.
You bet. All right.
Okay.
Our next caller
yeah.
is Elisha.
Mm-hmm.
And Elisha's asking, what are ways to test drive and take risks in a new relationship to find out if she is for me? Can you tell us more, Elisha?
Hi, yeah, it's Elisha.
Alicia, I'm sorry.
No worries. Tell you more. I just joined the conversation a couple minutes ago, so tell you more about my experience or what are you exactly looking for me to share?
Well, we're on the topic of vision, and you're
okay.
putting out kind of a vision of test driving and taking risks in a relationship with the goal
mm-hmm.
of finding the right one, it sounds like. So tell us a little more about the situation. Is there someone specific you're trying to test out, or are we talking about in general, in principle, in dating, how do I really test a person and see who they are?
I think both. Like, I'd like the, you know, I guess some general discussion too, as well as, I guess, more specifically, I recently started dating, and I just, you know, we're still in the, you know, feeling it out stages. I'm still getting to know her, and, you know, I don't want to necessarily waste time like I have historically in the past, where I kind of wait for things to play out and see how they are. I want to test those things, and when I say those things, I'm not really sure what those things are right now, but I know I want to, you know, find out,
yeah.
you know, if, like, this is the right person to challenge, or if they want to challenge me back and, you know, support
right.
me, or,
you
know, not support me and things like that. So I kind of want to get that going
yeah.
in the beginning rather than drag it out, you know, 6 months down the line and find out, oh, that's not working out.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's great, Alicia. What's striking me right now is your question is really about taking risks. And there's a way that when you're giving background, the way you're explaining it, like, I can feel the sort of little bit of cautious in the way that you're explaining. So I'm guessing at the core of it is this idea of really risking in dating. Will you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it is very scary, absolutely. Like, I have a lot of fear, you know, like, things are, you know, generally in the beginning they're comfortable and, like, I'm okay, and I don't historically won't speak up when something, you know, bothers me or annoys me, so I'm trying to not be resentful and speak up more, and I'm scared because I, you know, I'm scared of, you know, losing the person I'm with, and, you know, it's a scary step for me to take to really speak truth all the time, and you
yeah.
know, I always have, you know, mistaken beliefs that, you know, it's okay, like I have to learn how to deal with that or something like that. I don't know if they're mistaken, but it's just some things that go through my head as I'm thinking about it.
Right. Yeah. Alicia, what I'm getting is this lovely both sides of vision for you. Like, the picture I'm getting of you in dating is that you have a vision unfolding moment by moment based on being with your emotions as you're on dates, noticing what's going on with you, and yourself making that choice point of, am I going to share what my true reaction was here?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be myself in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed at first that when you were asking the question, I went automatically to the idea of, well, what are you really testing against without having some preformed vision? I think that's kind of the cultural limiting belief about vision, or kind of the list of must-haves that we think we're supposed to put together for who our ideal mate is.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I'm in the dating game, the more I think it does boil down to some of the things you named. Is this a person who's willing to challenge me, be their best, learn and grow with me? Those are the non-negotiables. And everything else kind of is in the how are we being together. And I think everything you described is just like, is the seed of a beautiful vision for how you want to be in your life, how you want to be on your dates, and the way to test it is exactly what you described. Just speaking up in the moment and seeing what the reaction is. Is this a person who can play on my playing field? Yeah. What do you think about that, Alicia?
It's pretty scary, but that's kind of what I've been doing, and sometimes I get, you know. But, you know, since starting YLT, I feel like, I don't want to say, use the word like more, you know, I guess advanced, but in a lot of ways I feel, I guess, superior to the people that I date, because like I'm, you know, speaking this and it catches them off guard and then they don't know how to respond and they just give me this look and it's like they're like baffled. They're like, wow, like, what are you asking me? Like, you know, and sometimes I don't get a response, and sometimes I do get a snappy response in the moment, and then later it comes up and you know, I get like a better explanation, but it's like it's very uncharted territory for me at this level.
I get that it can be scary, and also, you know, what you're teeing up is, you know, you're in an environment, you're taking classes, you're, you know, you're doing personal development, which not everybody is doing. And at the same time, I think that a lot of times we'll miss just the really easy opportunities to be more alive and present with another person that have nothing to do with, you know, how much training or education I have in this area. For me, it's like it's as core as saying, like, I don't like that. Or, you know, it's like at a restaurant on a first date saying, like, if we're going to share a meal and he says, like, how about we share this, saying, I don't want to. I want to get my own meal.
Yeah.
And that might seem small to somebody else, but to me, that's a challenge for me. So, you know, taking risks for me could be saying things that, you know, that would not be a risk to any other person. And it could be just sort of like revealing more of myself in a certain area than I have before. Doesn't need to be full of jargon. And there's also no formula for it. So I think that the key for you will be like, what, you know, where do you have a little bit of anxiety about telling a truth, saying something that's, you know, that's true for you, that's breaking a pattern, that's not where you normally would go on an early date, and going there?
That's a really good question. I'm pretty spontaneous on dates. It's more of like, you know, spending time together, and I'm very, I guess, like in and out in the moment. Like sometimes I'll just like want to sit next to them, and sometimes I'll just want my alone time, but you know, it's nice to have that person there, and it's also all new to me too, to, you know, have that person there, like in the same, you know, apartment or the same room, but I'm, you know, in my own zone, or, you know, they're in their own zone, and I, you know, it's like I feel uncomfortable sometimes where I have to play host all the time and make sure that I'm taking care of them, and you know, sometimes during the week I just want time for myself, but it's nice to have them there too, and I don't necessarily want to offend them or, you know, think that I don't value their time or have them question, you know, why are they here if I'm you know, not with them, you know, giving them every second.
Really interesting. Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot going on, a lot of internal dialogue and feelings and sort of conflict about it that I'm guessing you haven't shared with this, you know, person you're talking about.
No, I have, and we've spoken about it, but I still have the feelings that hasn't changed.
So how likely would you be, Elisa, to say something like, you know what, I think we've had a great time. I want to get a couple things done, and, you know, I think we should call it a night or see each other tomorrow.
That sounds good. Yeah, I like that.
Cool. And I think the game we're playing here is at a basic level, you know, knowing what's going on with you, kind of the flow I see is like, wow, I notice that I have these feelings churning all the time. I'm not quite sure what to do with them. I'm not quite sure how to approach this other person with them. Great. You don't have to. You're in an environment of, you know, a community of support. You've called in here. You have a group that's your lab group. You can have target practice with that. Others who don't have exactly this curriculum and structure can have a friend or a buddy on the line, where if you have an agreement to sort of speak to each other truthfully and hold things in confidence, you can kind of play with that. Like, look, I just noticed myself wanting to say, like, can you go already? Or what are we doing here? Or whatever, and help you work to a more socially intelligent response, you know, that'll work for them better, for the more untrained person in that interaction. And sometimes you're totally going to, like, you know, piss down your leg, for lack of a better metaphor, and make a mess and hurt some feelings, and you'll sort it out. You'll get to, you know, I didn't really mean to say that, but there is a truth in it of I just quite don't know quite how to be here with you in this space.
I think one thing Kate is suggesting is get messier.
Yes, I'm not literally suggesting piss down your leg.
No.
So
there's a way that even right here on this call, Elisa, it's like it almost sounds like you know, you've got it, but none of us
totally do.
You know, none of us have it all together. You're just scratching the surface, and the more that you allow yourself to just sort of wake up to what's going on, you know, the messy stuff. Like right now, what am I feeling? I'm scared, I'm angry, I'm happy, I'm, you know, I'm hurt, I've got everything. And we all do, to different degrees in each moment.
Yeah.
And the more that you're risking with yourself to experience, like, sort of the vast depth of the thoughts, feelings, judgments inside you, and then the more that you're risking to share those at a new level with another person, that's where you're really test driving that person seeing, like, okay, how does this person handle it when I'm less controlled and when things start to get out of the box and we can actually experience something new together?
Or how willing are they to be with me when I'm awkward and I've decided I've had enough of being with someone for a night? Like, it's so much more of a favor and what's the word? I would so much rather have you relating to this person based on who you really are, and them accepting you or rejecting you for who you really are on those terms, than loving every moment with some repressed false version of yourself. And that's what's more to hold in mind, is like, am I going to be myself in this moment? And if not, it's just a bald-faced lie, and I wouldn't want them to be with me as that person who's not being themselves. That's maybe a negative vision. More negative vision than positive vision way of saying it, but I just think that's exciting, is to say, in every interaction, am I calling up a more real version of myself or a more old, repressed version of me?
Yeah.
Rachel's way of saying it was more exciting. So we'll stick with
well,
that.
I think this is, you know, it's sort of in line with our suggestions to Molly. Basically, it's like, stir it up, you know. It's on us as the one who's as the one who's calling in, as the one who's questioning it, as the one who wants something to
who
stir it up.
It.
Good.
Well, thanks,
wonderful.
Elisa.
Thanks so much for calling in, Elisa.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
great.
Wonderful.
We've got time for one more.
Yeah, we do. So we've got another caller on the line. We have Emily.
And Emily is asking us about having mutuality in her relationship. I'd love to hear more from Emily.
Okay, hi. I'm so happy to be on the call today. So I have been dating someone for about 5 months now, and, you know, I really like them, and things have been, like, going pretty well thus far. You know, we've gotten in some, like, big fights, and we've worked through them, and I feel like we're sort of, like, you know, on a new level with each other and with our relationship. And so I find myself just wanting to know. I mean, I think that we've sort of been, like, going on fumes thus far. It's like, you know, we really like each other. There's chemistry. But it's like now I feel like I want, like, the details. Like, I want the details of his life. Like, I want to know, like, how he grew up and, like, what his family was like. And I want to know details about, like, you know, his previous relationships or just, like, who he was before he met me. And I find that, like, asking those questions directly, it actually doesn't get me the results that I want, right? Like, he gets, you know, either a little uncomfortable or, like, defensive or, like, Emily, why are you crying? Or, you know, he'll just give me a response that's, like, you know, short, quick, and sweet, you know? So, I guess in that sense, you know, that's one of the things that I want. Like, I just want to feel like I know him better. And I think with the mutuality, it's like I also want him to know those things about me.
Right.
And I guess maybe understand, you know, better whether or not he does, right?
Yeah, I love that, Emily. And that was your just towards the end, you're touching on my first question, which was, you know, these things that you're wanting to know about him, you know, how open do you think you are? How much do you think you're sharing those things with him?
Yeah, I think not at all, actually. I haven't at all. I find that I too am like someone who's, you know, can be very direct and to the point and in the moment without sharing anything about myself or anything about, like, the context of my life.
Yeah. I just want to say, Emily, that I totally relate to you. I have this feeling often that I'm like, yeah, tell me who you are, and then we'll notice that I've been, you know, I've named sort of the facts of my life, but I haven't gotten much into the deeper stuff either. And I just had an experience recently with a guy that I'm dating now where I sort of decided I was having that same feeling, like I know some facts, but there's things he isn't telling me. And I went into it with him, and I got into some very, you know, deep stuff about the, you know, the pain I went through as a teenager. He asked me questions that I didn't want to answer, and I thought about it actually saying, no, I don't want to tell you that, and I decided to anyway. And then afterwards, he just started talking about himself like he hadn't ever before, and we had this, you know, this hour-long conversation about him, and I was shocked to see him revealing himself that way. And I also know that it's because I'd opened up the space for it.
Right. And I think that is, we talk about it in our women's work, that is, for better or for worse, a role that women are often more trained to play, and men are trained to rely on us to play that, to open the space to emotions, to vulnerability, to spirit, whatever it is. And you can either resent the hell out of it or raise the, I don't know, the phrase freak flag came up to me again. Like, you know, I'm a woman, I'm skilled at this, and, you know, like, this is my value, this is my yearning. I just felt the pain, Emily, when I heard you say him, he's asking, why are you crying?
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah.
Reason this matters to you. And you may not be able to go straight at it and just say, I gotta know your salary and your SSN because I've been burned in the past and I need to know who you are. But there's some little chance of you sharing and you underlining that more feminine context of, like, there's just, like, so much I'm curious about. I want to understand you, you know, or however it is that you'd name the yearning and what the process is in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But know that you as a woman are probably going to need to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's true.
Drive it in your openness.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, which is, Yeah, and I'm seeing that too in our relationship because, you know, I had said last week, like, oh, okay, like, well, I want to spend an entire day with you, or it's just us for the entire day, you know, like, not just, like, you know, longer dates, but, like, let's spend the whole day together. And he planned a day, and it was amazing, you know, and he also, you know, he did open up. Like, I saw new sides of him. So, I mean, I see how there are ways in which I can say, you know, on a more basic level, I think, than the way that I've been trying to communicate of, like, this is what I want, and then allow him to fill in the details, you know, basically is,
yeah,
I think, a good approach. And as far as, like, me sharing more, I mean, I think, yeah, it's just really scary. I think, you know, it's like this classic thing of like, well, I like him. And then so I'm like kind of like scared to, you know, like,
yeah,
really engage or like really play with him because I'm like scared of losing him, you know? So,
yeah.
And it's like, I know that there's like some like underlying beliefs there that like, you know, maybe I'm not good enough or I don't deserve love or whatever they may be. And so I am trying to work on those as well and just sort of, you know, approach it as like an adventure and also like this, you know, time and possibility for me to explore and learn more about myself, like through sharing with him and being open with him.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
This is you know, making me think of this, you know, this quote that we reference sometimes about self-validated intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, the one where, like, you may hate me or leave me, but,
yeah.
We'll go ahead with the name.
Yeah, and this is, it's David Starch, I believe. Yeah, but the idea is self-validated intimacy is the idea that I can be myself, I can be open, I can be vulnerable, and I hope that you'll be with me, but I know that I'm okay if you're not. Whereas
right.
Other valid intimacy is like, well, I'll share with you if you share with me.
Right.
I want you to me, so as if you accept me, then I'll tell you the truth, but only if you give me what I want. And it's sort of this like stingier trade.
Yeah.
And this has just been coming for me a lot in my dating, because I'm thinking, you know, here, for example, in that conversation that I told you about with the guy, you know, he asked me something that I didn't want to answer. And I had the thought, like, I don't trust you enough to really go into this right now. And then I thought, well, you know, I can wait for you to give to me so I give back to you, or I can just decide that I'm okay even if I don't get the exact response I want from you, and I can validate myself here. Share it and open up this for you to share if you want to. And if not, you know, then maybe you're not the right person for me anyway. There's lots of others.
Right, exactly. No, that's true. Yeah. And so then I guess it's also about, like, me really deciding, like, what are the things that I want to share or, like, what's important to share and, like, you know, what, like, the meaning is for me in sharing.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that just, like, in through some of our fights, like, I had realized, and this is also, like, you know, sort of, like, the pry comment too, is like, I just realized that, like, sometimes when we had fights, like, my inclination would be to sort of, like, problematize his emotions or, like, you know, I don't know, his beliefs or whatever, like, his problems, as opposed to just focusing on me, what I want, and what the situation meant for me. So I think it's just another example in which I have to go back to that of, like, well, what does this mean for me? What do I want? And, you know, how can I... what can I do to get to where I want to be, right?
Yeah. And I think a big piece of it is just being in the moment with it. You know, it doesn't need to be, what are the important things for me to share about myself and my past and my vision for the future? That stuff is all good, but how about, you know, how did you feel when he said, why are you prying? You know, if you're really present with the emotion, yearning in the moment, that's how we open up, is to say how we're feeling right then.
And I want to jump in just tactically. There's probably a way to share yourself even as you're asking these questions that you or he have typically thought of as prying. For example, just to say, I'm kind of ask, but, you know, what's this about? Or, you know, I noticed I was getting annoyed or frustrated or angry or whatever it was when you were talking about this. Can you tell me more? There are ways to, like, share yourself even in even in the yearning to know him more. And there's maybe a variation for you to play on the thing I'm afraid to say game, which is something that we sometimes practice in labs and in couples work, is the next thing I'm afraid to tell you is, the next thing I'm afraid to tell you is. And everyone, you know, prefaces their statements with that, but you could even use that as you're asking a question. The thing I'm afraid to ask you is this. And then you're revealing yourself more. And this week's assignment in the Year of Transformation actually gets at this, because it's where we develop the questionnaire for the opposite sex to bust our mistaken beliefs. And one aspect of that was revealing for me was that I got such great information from the men I was interviewing, because my understanding of my mistaken belief and really what I was wanting to work on was so transparently in that question. They knew exactly where I was coming from, that I was seeing that I had some limit or some crazy idea about men, and they were able to go, wow, that's cool. Okay, here's how I really am. But even though the ideal is what Rachel's saying, that it's not this quid pro quo. There are ways you can grease the wheels by you being more honest and vulnerable, even in asking the right question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for calling. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, of course. Okay. I will.
Great.
Okay,
well,
great.
Thanks to everyone.
Yeah,
thanks, Emily,
bye.
And everyone who called in today. Glad to start the year with you here on Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. We actually have a special opportunity, whether you're local in Chicago or anywhere in the world. If you're hearing this at our live broadcast time, we have a New Year Visioning workshop tomorrow night, January 7th, 2016, at 6 p.m. And you can sign up for that at seievent.com. Mm-hmm. There are over 100 people attending, so you'll be in good company for networking and visioning as well. Dr. Judith Wright will present a phenomenally non-traditional approach to starting the year, why resolutions don't work and why vision is really the ticket. So if this interested you today, join us tomorrow, seievent.com. And Rachel, you want to mention the other opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a workshop coming up, our foundations training, our social and emotional intelligence workshop. The next one is January 15th to 17th, 2016, and we would love to have you there. Please do email us.
Yeah, and I will just say about that one, we go deep into visioning on the foundations training, both the negative visioning and visioning for the more positive.
Yeah.
So if this whetted your appetite, that would be a great seminar for you to follow up on. And that's you can find more info about that at rightliving.com.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks again. We appreciate you being here. You can join us every Wednesday and Thursday on the Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio channel. Not us, but someone like us or someone we work with is here to talk about all aspects of bringing out your best in life. So we hope to hear you again soon.